Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, November 1st, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up today reading in Acts chapter 10, verse 24 through the end of the chapter, Psalm 3, and Ezra chapter 6, verses 13 through 22. Have I mentioned to you that I love Acts? I think it's because it's just fast moving and there are lots of stories and we see the Holy Spirit's work on display. Yesterday in the book of Acts, some men came from Cornelius to Peter to ask Peter to come to Cornelius's house. Cornelius had seen a vision, Peter had seen a vision, and so the events are going to converge today, and the events have huge implication for us as Gentile or non-Jewish believers. Starting in verse 24, the following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak, 'I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the 3rd day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. What a powerful story of the inclusion of the Gentile people. Now we know that God's heart throughout the Old Testament was for the inclusion of the Gentiles and those God-fearers and those who love and obey God, who were not of the Jewish origin. That was his plan from the beginning, but oftentimes the Jewish people were not open to that. And now here we see Peter having to grapple with it in his mind, and the Holy Spirit becomes confirmation that these people are a part of God's family. One thing that I think is so interesting and helpful that is kind of a side note here, but in verse 41, it's talking about Jesus who was hanged on the tree and then was raised from the dead. I love when the details come out about what happened after he was raised. It says he was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, and by us, Peter, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He was not some kind of apparition or some kind of ghost. He is a physical person, someone who was physically raised in bodily form, and someone who ate and drank in their midst. He shared table fellowship after his resurrection. It wasn't just a quick here and there and they thought they spotted him. No, he sat with them and he instructed them. And I'm grateful that Peter then goes out and shares the message of Jesus with the world. Okay, let's move on now to the book of Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Selah. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. Selah. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on all your people. Selah. Even as I read this psalm, I was trying to think my own circumstances here, because I know that God's word is living and active, and I'm not a king who has enemies rising up against him, but I do have spiritual forces of evil that are rising up against me and against those whom I love. And I just pray for you and for me today that we will see God as a shield around us, and we will see him as someone who hears us when we cry to him. We can thank him for the fact that he is sovereign and that we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear in this life because we know the only one who can bring deliverance. And so I pray this last line from the psalm on you and on yours today. May God's blessing be on your people. Amen. Okay, let's turn over to the book of Ezra. We are continuing in this story of the rebuilding of Jerusalem, and we're back in the time where Jerusalem's temple is being rebuilt. And so today we will read Ezra chapter 6, verses 13 through 22. The title in my Bible says Completion and Dedication of the Temple. Then, because of the decree King Darius had sent, Tattenai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethar-Bozenai and their associates carried it out with diligence. So the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, a descendant of Iddo. They finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. The temple was completed on the third day of the month Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Then the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. For the dedication of the house of God, they offered 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 male lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats, one for each of the tribes of Israel. And they installed the priest in their divisions and the Levites in their groups for the service of God at Jerusalem, according to what is written in the book of Moses. On the 14th day of the first month, the exiles celebrated the Passover. The priests and Levites had purified themselves and were all ceremonially clean. The Levites slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the exiles, for their brothers, the priests, and for themselves. So the Israelites who had returned from the exile ate it, together with all who had separated themselves from the unclean practices of their Gentile neighbors in order to seek the Lord, the God of Israel. For 7 days they celebrated with joy the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because the Lord had filled them with joy by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria, so that he assisted them in the work on the house of God, the God of Israel. What joy as we think about the fact that this Passover was being celebrated. Remember, the Passover was enacted when the Israelites were escaping from Egypt, and they killed the Passover lamb and they put the blood on their door and they had to leave in haste, and they made unleavened bread because they did not have time for it to rise. These are all part of the Passover experience. And this was and still is a huge marker in the Jewish faith, the remembrance of God's deliverance. And here they celebrate the Passover again in remembrance of his deliverance. And then we saw in Acts, didn't we, that Cornelius, who is a Gentile, one of those that would have not been able to celebrate the Passover, he is incorporated into the fellowship and will be able to celebrate because the ultimate Passover lamb, our Lord Jesus, was sacrificed once for all, as Hebrews tells us, so that we can be clean. Praise God for the forgiveness of sins that comes through Jesus, our Lord. Today is Missions Monday, so I do not want to forget that. Today we're praying for the Arab Baptist Theological Seminary, and they have listed several prayer requests that are in our e-newsletter and were mentioned yesterday in the worship services. So as I pray, I'll just incorporate these into the prayer. Thank you, God, for your word, which reminds us of your faithful love and that you can even change the mind of kings. Thank you, Lord, for the Gentile inclusion, which includes us. Thank you, Lord, that we could be a part of your people because of Jesus our Lord. We pray on behalf of our brothers and sisters who are working diligently for your kingdom come at the Arab Baptist Theological Seminary in Beirut. We pray for Lebanon as they have just passed their 1-year anniversary of the blast in Beirut. And we pray, Lord, that you would be working for those who are left homeless and in financial despair as a result of this blast. We pray for them as a country as they attempt to recover from financial ruin. And we pray that the church in Lebanon would be salt and light in times of darkness. Lord, please change the hearts of politicians in Lebanon so that drastic change may begin to take effect. Oh God, we see in the text today that this very thing happens. Darius' mind was changed. Those from the Trans-Euphrates were changed. You are the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so we pray for this in the politicians in Lebanon. We pray for their medical needs, and we pray for mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your work through the prayers of your people, but ultimately your work through Jesus, who is our Passover lamb, who has died so that we may be set free. May his word and his work go forward in this world today. We pray and may it start with us. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your spirit. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.